Welcome to Tech Live. Stephanie Christopher here, CEO of The Executive Connection. We connect leaders with a trusted network of people who help them succeed.
A really interesting Tech Live for you today. Marcus Buckingham talks about the importance of finding the love in what you do. And our next guest, Raj Narayan, has taken that to the next level. Raj is the founder and CEO at Imagine Golf. Raj comes from a corporate background, having held various leadership and NED positions, including the COO at Westpac Private Bank. She believes that golf is a powerful business networking tool and has experienced the benefits of golf networking firsthand. Her goal is to bring golf to as many people as possible and to make golf more accessible and inclusive and geared towards business. Raj, welcome to Tech Live.
Stephanie, it's an absolute pleasure to be here and thank you for having me.
Love having you. I love a couple of things that are so special to you. Networking, I think I'm pretty good at it. Sales, absolutely. Golf, no idea, haven't got a clue. You offered me a handicap and I just smiled. Tell me all about Imagine.
Okay, so Imagine Golf is a golf-based business networking group. And what I've actually tried to do is combine my two passions. So the one, which is business and networking, and the second one, which is golf, and create a networking community. So we are a large community. And basically what we do is connect with one another in some amazing golf courses and do business with one another. So that's kind of the concept of what we do at Imagine. And there are three pillars to what we do, which is access, learn, and grow. Mm-hmm. So access, to play at some of the top-rated golf courses across Australia. And you were at one of them.
We'll talk about that. Beautiful one last week.
At New South Wales Golf Club, and you were the keynote there. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a little while. The second aspect is learn. So we have opportunities to learn from senior keynote speakers, such as yourself. I mean, you spoke so beautifully about the seven key skills of successful business leaders. And similar to that, we've had, you know, various listed CEOs and scientists and Olympic athletes speak at our events, always about a very interesting business topic. And the third aspect is to grow your network. So 94% of our members are C-suite executives or business owners, and 69% of them do business with one another. So I always think the, you know, when you're in an amazing setting, when your guard is a bit down and you have a lot of time to connect with someone, you know, the real business actually happens and the real connections are actually made.
So there's something also about it's so open, it's explicit that you're not playing golf with people who are kind of sounding you out to do business. People know that's why they're in the network. It's not, do you have, so another question then, do you have many people, Raj, who join, who just want to play golf in good places? They want the access, but nothing else?
Look, perhaps a very small group.
So
25% of our members are non-golfers. So that's interesting in itself because these people have joined the group for the networking element. We run a golf clinic at each one of our events. So they are trying to get into golf or learn golf or play golf, but really non-golfers. And effectively, like for example, and you know, at our events, we're not marking attendance. People can just come to the tea time. They don't have to come for the meeting.
Yeah.
And you saw over there, there were 110 people in the room. It was packed.
It was packed.
And in fact, it was so full that this is you, Stephanie. Everybody's come to listen to you.
But, I love this, Raj. She's good.
But effectively, like this was our first event. Like usually I have my staff sitting in each of the table. Well, because also it's an opportunity for them to learn more about our members.
Yes.
So we can connect them better or, you know, learn who our members are. So, and this is the first event where all of the staff, there was no seating. So you would see in the seating arrangement, I didn't have a seat.
Right.
And none of my team had a seat because everything was full. So we had to, there was no more space for them to go.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting, isn't
no
it?
No seat fillers.
It's a good problem to have. That's a problem I want to have.
It's a great problem. It was a glorious Sydney day at the most beautiful golf course. So it was a lovely setting.
And an amazing keynote speaker. So it was a win-win.
Great. Absolutely. So a few things. Is this an idea that you took from somewhere else?
Look, networking has always been one of my passions.
Yeah.
And I always think, like I say this all the time, you know the saying, it's not what you know, but it's who you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of think it's not what you know, that's for sure. It's not who you know. It's actually how well you know them and how authentic the connection is. just because you know me, if you don't think highly of me, it's not going to help me much, isn't it? It's a deep connection that you build. And I always thought that golf is a great way to create that because, and not necessarily golf, anytime you're in a setting that you have a common mutual interest and you have ample time to connect with those people where it's not forced, so it's in a relaxed setting.
It's the relaxed.
You know, I've been to so many networking groups where, you know, you're doing the elevator pitch, you're giving out business cards. And I'm not saying that doesn't work. Of course, there's a place for that type of networking as well. But it's not a deeper relationship. It's not more authentic. I mean, I've had situations where I come back to the office and I got all these business cards and I'm trying to find them on LinkedIn to connect with them. And sometimes they have these old photos. I don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
I've got to look up their company and figure it out. And I go, well, how authentic is that connection?
Yes.
I mean, what am I going to do? Like, yes, I could possibly like their LinkedIn post or something. But unless I met them again or at a different setting, you know what I mean? It's not, there's no depth of relationship. So as far as I know, I mean, I've tried networking all my life or been part of networking all my life. And then golf has always been, one of my loves and great hobbies. And I've made some amazing connections through golf. And I feel like golf opens doors. So I thought, oh, look, there's got to be an opportunity to create some structure around a sport that's already conducive to business. This is why they say, you know, presidents and CEOs play golf or something like that. And I'm sure like the, I'm not sure whether it's the Forbes magazine or various magazines and papers have written about how many deals, like the top deals get done on the golf course and things. And I thought it's an opportunity to create a structure. So as far as I know, there aren't anybody else, at least in Australia, there's no one else doing this and in a mainstream way. And so we just thought, like, you know, I just tried to connect these two things, golf and business. And then the real thing is the real magic is really the community. So we've created a massive community around it. So I kind of, you know, I talked about the access, learn and grow. In the end of the day, people may come because they want to get access and play at a golf course. But once you play New South Wales, you don't have to play that again. You've ticked it off your bucket list.
Yeah.
And the same with learning. People may come to hear from senior keynote speakers and improve themselves. But in the end of the day, they stay for that grow element. The value of the community is the community itself.
It's
not me, it's not the speakers, it's not the course, it's the other people they can connect with. The other people who help them, you know, whether it be with business or connections or like a lot of the times in these days, for we're lucky that we've, you know, seen all this growth in the last, you know, 18 months to 2 years. And now we have second and third tier referrals. So our members connect another member to someone else in their network. So not people who come on the day and meet each other. They connect with other people. We have smaller WhatsApp groups where people connect and play golf. There's little groups that play on a Friday, every second Friday, and things like that. So there's the communities like, you know, branching out. And then the members are the people who connect.
It's all the about the power of the group and the community. There's something that you talk about with Imagine It being inclusive. And that traditional presidents, CEOs, traditionally it's been a male business person activity. You've really shaken that up, haven't you? Because there's, I don't know what your gender mix is, but there's a lot of women there. I was really interested to see that mix last week.
That's right. And look, so if you look at Australia as a whole, 17% of the golfing population is female.
Yeah.
Right? So quite a small statistic. I think with the overall population, I think 51% are female. So 17% are female golfers, of all golfers. And when we started, we had 25% of our member base was female, so higher than the average. But the interesting thing is as we're growing and scaling and growth is coming up, like now we're about 21 to 22% female. And I think, you know, I come from a banking and statistical modeling background. And eventually as the sample gets larger, I think it's going to reflect the population. So as the sample gets larger, the statistics are going to be more mirroring the population. Because what's happening is, of course, we're growing, but the number of men are growing at a much faster rate than the women.
Right.
But we, that's why we do the clinics and the get into golf programs. And they've been hugely successful. We have like, you know, I've got Luisa Perez, who's this young lawyer. And she came in and the first day she came to a clinic, she says, I'm signing up today. I'm becoming a member. And I said, maybe you want to try it for two more days before you sign up. Anyway, on the very day she signs up and now she's playing 18 holes of golf. And she was at the New South Wales event playing golf. So it's... it's an amazing sport and it's an easy way to get into it within our community.
You're talking me into it. I may well end up at a clinic.
Absolutely, as you should.
So your banking background, what have you brought from that into this? Because you're a business owner now. And also the skills of sales and networking. But what is it that you've brought from your corporate career into Imagine?
Look, I think it's just I've always been in sales, relationship management, business development, those kind of roles. So obviously I bought that along with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the general business acumen. Like, you know, I think back to my MBA days or when you're in business school or something, and what you have is that you talk about the Porter's five forces and you bring that breadth of knowledge that you've learned over the years into a venture. So when I first started Imagine Golf, from day one, and I always see, maybe because I'm too close to it, I see the vision of what it's going to be, which is going to be the largest business networking community in Australia. That is, powered by golf. But of course, it could branch out into, tennis, any sport, any activity. And that's the whole thing. Like, it's an opportunity to connect in a relaxed setting, in an unforced setting, and make genuine connections. So, and that's where, magic happens.
So an absolutely clear vision.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around you knows what you're looking for and knows where you're heading. And then your strategy on how to get there. So it's really interesting. We were talking before about what are the important elements of networking. What separates strategic networking from having a cup of coffee with someone that you might have known or you've just met?
Yeah. So look, this is my favorite topic to talk about.
Well, let's go.
So the thing is, right, let me just talk a little bit about the traditional form of networking,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of lead on to the strategic. So when you talk about traditional networking, right, when you think about the word networking, conjures up images of doing elevator pitches, handing out business cards, connecting with people, walking into a large room and talking to some people, right? Like, and so what happens with that is nothing wrong with it. It's a great way to meet people. Mm. It's just that there's a few biases that happen. So for example, there's familiarity bias. So I walk into a room, it's a really busy room, and I see another female. I maybe naturally go there and talk to that person. Or I see another banker, I might naturally talk to that person. Mm-hmm. Or I see someone of my ethnic, mm-hmm. Group, so I might talk to, you have this familiarity bias. And, and people have, there's been a lot of research around this, and people even say, even when people are applying for a loan, say distressed companies applying for a loan, if they've been, even though, say you're giving a loan, and I kind of go back to my banking days, say you're giving a loan, you kind of look at this financials, there's, the ability to pay. So you're looking at, probability of default, mm-hmm. loss given default. It's very analytical, mm-hmm. yet people favor people from their own, because the element of trust.
Yeah.
So you think that if they're from your similarity of background or similarity, it's been to the same school or whatever, there's a connection there that leads to this familiarity bias. And then there's a personality bias, which is, traditional networking lends itself to extroverted people.
Yeah.
Because if I'm extroverted, if I can walk the room and talk to everybody, I'm going to make an impression. If I'm a bit louder and crack some jokes, I'm going to make an impression. If I have some valuable insights to share, I'm going to make some impression. So it's, it's the extroverted people benefit a lot of that, lot from that. And the other thing I think is, they don't have longevity because, as I said about the business cards, I bring them all in. It's very transactional. And after a while, I don't remember who I met because I've been to so many events.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing of all is that there is no network effects.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is you're not going to go tell someone, hey, I met Raj and she's at Imagine Golf and she might be a good connection for you, because that there was no authenticity of connection. It was very short.
Mm.
You don't even know what I do. You got my business card and perhaps you'll look me up on the on LinkedIn or on a website.
Mm.
And I feel like the strategic networking is different in the sense that, and this is where I talked about before, the authenticity of connections. It's not about creating a connection, it's how well you know them, not who you know, but how well you know them. And this is where the depth of relationship is what is going to make someone open a door for you or create that opportunity for you. Or when there is an opportunity presented in front of them, they think about you.
Yes.
They recall you. You come to mind.
Yes.
So these are all the things about the strategic relationship, strategic networking. And, I have this little kind of a acronym that I use all the time. And it's about, people talk about creating a network.
Yeah.
But I say you're better off creating a community. Yeah. That support group, that group of people who are going to be there, who are going to support you, who are going to promote you, and who are going to come and present at your event. And so forth. So that's kind of the interesting element about strategic networking is creating those depths of relationships. And I have this thing which I call is like the, because networking is all about referrals and connections, right? And I call it the rich referral recipe. So it's R-I-C-H. And basically, the R is the right people.
Yeah.
So no matter where you're networking, whether you're going to an event or you're inviting people to an event, is the right people. Mm. They've got to be, and there's no wrong people over there in the world.
Yeah.
Everybody's right. We're an,
right
we're an inclusive group.
Yeah. No,
an inclusive group. Everybody's
of right,
welcome.
Of the right people.
Not yeah. the right people. But I'll elaborate on that. It's the right people who are of a similar size, scale, and business link that they can connect and do business with one another. So for example, if I had a multi-million dollar listed company CEO come into my event, and I have, they're looking for an accountant to do their accounting firm. And then I have a solopreneur accountant who's doing their tax. It's highly unlikely that this listed company is going to have this accountant. Not that they're a bad accountant. I'm sure they're great. They're probably going to go for a large partnership firm.
Yeah.
Because of size and scale. Mm. Same for a builder. Like if they're doing massive construction projects, they're not going to have a one-man band plumber. They might have a large plumbing company that they could do business with. And this is why, you know, the reason I say we're inclusive is, yes, we're completely inclusive. We have right from solopreneurs to listed CEOs, small businesses to multi-million dollar businesses. But I think the value is created through our custom connection system. So every time you come, you're seated. You never sit. You're seated at a table.
I saw that.
And why is that important? Not because I don't want you to sit with whoever you like. It's for you to connect with a similar size and scale of businesses. And you would have seen there are some tables where all of the property and construction companies are sitting next to each other. Not competitors. We make sure that they're not, you know, not on the same table with other competing firms or things like that. But it's real, so it's right people. So you want to get the right people in the room. So if I'm going to connect and network, it'll be great if I go into a room where there are people who could potentially do business with me, or I could do potentially business with or connect with, as the case may be. Mm. And there's no right or wrong people, but it's just making sure the right people are in the right spot.
Yes.
And the, you know, for the rich, I say the I is around keeping it very, intuitive and welcoming. So you basically want people to come in, connect with you, and be able to be in the right frame of mind to do business with one another. C is creating a very friendly environment.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is, you know what I mean? Once you've created the, you know, right people, you've created the initiative and an intuitive environment. The third thing is creating a friendly environment. And that's what I said before is not the what you know, not the who you know, but how will you know them. And that is created when you spend a long time with them. Like golf is a great example of that, but it could be a wine tasting event. It could be anything. Like it could be 10-pin bowling. Anything where you have a friendly environment where the barriers are broken down, and you have an opportunity to kind of, you know, connect and do business with one another. And the H is around, you know, high value connections. Yeah. So really ensuring that, say, for example, you know, really understanding who you are and who you might want to connect with and creating that value in that connection. So not just introduce you to anybody, like understanding who you're looking to connect with and create some high value in the interaction and connection that I provide you.
And all of those things make sense, having seen Imagine firsthand so recently. It felt different, Raj. It's that's you. That's the culture of it. But I've been to so many events where you're at a table, there's people around you you don't know. Mm-hmm. They're probably from places that you'd really like to meet and do business with. And I have to take a deep breath and put on my winning personality for the hour of that event. It was so relaxed and easy from day one.
Hmm.
And I think there was something about the community and that real network effect that everyone knew why they were there.
And that's the reason why we are a membership-based group. So we are membership-based exactly for that reason.
Not an events-based
exactly. And of course, we welcome non-members to come and try it out, but only for one event. We say you're welcome to come and give it a go because it is a new concept. Maybe you need to, you know, get your head around it. You're welcome to come and try one event. But after that, we don't really welcome. I mean, our memberships are easily accessible no matter what, you know, what the size of your business is. So I feel like the membership element is quite important. And all of the visitors who come, they are invited by our members. So yes. They could be, each member is allowed to invite 3 visitors. So they could bring their clients or their,
yes.
you know, colleagues, as the case may be. But what it allows is this familiarity. Mm. So even though I'm bringing my 3 clients, when I come and connect with you, I introduce you. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's this, you saw the feeling. I can't explain it, but it's there. It's that connection. And this is why we have our members connecting with other members and trying to connect them to other business opportunities. And I do a lot of email introductions of people, like, say, if somebody's come to an event, I connect. If I thought, oh, look, these 2 people would be good to connect with one another, there might be some synergies. I do email introductions. And I've been to so many networking events, and I always find when you do an email introduction, when the 2 people immediately respond,
yeah,
then you know that the community is responsive.
Yes.
When they say, hey, you know, send me your, you know, information, or can I catch up with you for a coffee? And they immediately respond. That's the value of the community.
Yeah.
Of course, we don't guarantee that they're going to do business. Yeah. They may not. They may do business in 10 years. We don't know, but there's a connection that's been made today.
Yes. You were talking before, and I really like it, about asking.
Mm.
So some of the absolute art of strategic network, knowing when's the right time to ask and how to ask. Can you tell us a little more about that?
So I kind of, I talk about asking because in the end of the day, when you're networking, and this is a bit of the taboo thing people don't talk about. In the end of the day, when you're networking, there's always an ask.
Mm.
Eventually you want to do business with them.
Mm.
This is not a friendly social setting. It's networking. You come there with the purpose of making a connection, doing business. And I always think with the ask, it's that there are 3 key elements. One is you can ask only once. Mm. So say, for example, I'm connecting with you, I'm liaising with you. You can't keep on telling you, oh, come join Imagine Golf or whatever they say in the movie. Whatever it is, you can ask once. I always believe that.
Yep.
And at that point, they either say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And if they said no, people say, oh, that just no means not now. No means just no. No means that sale is over. And you may come back and sell or pitch or do something another time.
Yes.
But that, whatever episode of interaction concludes at that point when they're not ready.
Yes.
So I always say ask only once. So, and the second one leads into that is know when to ask.
Yes.
And the when to ask is when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And for each person, it might be different. Sometimes I might meet you and you might be ready to kind of connect and do business with me today. Sometimes you need 6 months to do it. And it's knowing the when, and you know what I mean, when the person is kind of ready to commit and do that. And golf is a great example because sometimes people go, look, at this point in time, I've got too many things going on in my personal life. I don't have time. I haven't taken up golf, but not ready to go and take on a new skill and practice and do all this at the moment. So it varies of when people are ready, but the when is when they're ready to, so that it facilitates the ask once.
How do you know, Raj? How do you know when they're ready?
And this is the thing. It goes back to the next one that I'm going to talk about is the right way to ask.
Right.
So when I say, for example, I'm coming to you and I'm working in banking and I'm telling you, Stephanie, would, you know, it was a great meeting. Thank you for connecting with us. I look forward to seeing you soon. And I walk away out of the room. I always used to tell my, you know, young private bankers or relationship managers or my sales staff now, I always say, you do the pitch, you provide your document, whatever it is. But in the end, look them in the eye and say, Stephanie, we at Westpac would like to really partner with you and work with you. We think we are the best people to provide this service. And I'd love the opportunity to come and have this opportunity to work with you. Or say something, some words to that effect. Or I say, Stephanie, I'd love for you to join our community at Imagine Golf and become part of this community. We believe that there's huge synergies and you will be a great fit within our community. And I think we will be able to add great value to you and your business. And I'd love for you to consider joining us. And that is an actual ask, because I say it's not a secret. Don't walk away with like, oh, great meeting you.
Yeah, yeah.
Great meeting you is not, Stephanie, I'd love for you to join my community. So there's a difference. But this third aspect is that you ask directly, but it can never be a surprise. You cannot be taken by surprise. So the when is easy, because every time I interact with you, I keep asking you, so what do you do about networking? What are your thoughts? What do you think about golf? And what are your options? Like, you keep on talking about things. You never ask.
Mm.
You're talking, understanding whether this is even something you need. Because if you may not even be an appropriate candidate, you know, then it's not authentic. Then don't be saying anything. Just connect you to someone else and move on. So, and that's kind of, you know, what I think is you're keeping on talking about that stuff and you're learning more. Every time I meet you, I'm learning more about yourself, your company, your, you know, what you, whether this would be beneficial to you. And then you actually, when you're ready, when they're ready and you're ready, you actually ask them for the business. And there's nothing wrong with actually asking them politely, because they say, hey, I'd like, you know, for you to join our community. I think there's great value for you to join our community. That's completely fine. And if you think the timing's not right, you're just going to say, hey, no, possibly not for me. And that's completely okay. Because a lot of the times, I've had this as well. Sometimes, you know, I might ask someone, say, hey, would you like to consider joining this community? And they may say, you know what? Really not going to do it because it's not for me. But my business partner is a keen golfer.
Yeah.
Let me give you that person.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times, it, you know what I mean? With sales, you've been in sales.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah.
There's no set thing of how it's going to happen. It's just, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like the, it's just the process. You keep on repeating the process and, you know, the result comes automatically.
Inherent in what you're saying, Raj, is listening though. You're listening
right.
for cues. It's not about you. Even though you're going to ask, it's about them.
Yes.
Because you're watching and you're listening and you're seeing how they respond.
And you're understanding what their needs are.
Yeah.
Sometimes in these, like I've known many people, I never ask them to ever join my community. Like you don't ask everybody you meet. Like it's not a thing. Like it's only if it's valuable to that person or you think you can add value to that person. It's got one or the other. And sometimes it's neither. You know, you don't end up doing business with one another. You become great business colleagues.
Yes.
And eventually, you know, like for example, Paul Graham, the CEO of Australia Post, he's one of my, you know, colleagues. I've known him for a long time and we've never done business with one another. However, when we started this company, Imagine Golf, back in the day, early in the day, when I had 24 to 32 people coming to events, he said, I'll come and do the keynote. Raj, I'll do the keynote for you.
Right.
He came in when the business was so small and little. And imagine the CEO of Australia Post taking a day off. He took the whole day off. And I think because he came, another 10 or 15 people turned up. So I had about 40 people in this room. And he did an amazing talk about e-commerce and the trends in e-commerce, even though he's the CEO of Australia Post.
Yeah.
Because he says they see from a fulfillment perspective the growth in e-commerce, every parcel that's being delivered, every thing that's been ordered online. And he talked about the e-commerce and the strategy that all businesses should have. And it was so valuable, but there was never an expectation of us ever potentially doing business or anything. But that's what I mean. People always come and work with you or help you or partner with you in so many different ways. Sometimes they could become, you know, an investor in your business.
Yeah.
They never join your business, but they might invest or they might give you a connection that might lead to something.
It's clever.
Yeah.
So I've heard people talking about networking and I don't know if this is something, a kind of a theory that you would subscribe to, the idea that you have to give before you ask.
Yes. Look, I definitely believe that.
You do?
I do. And it's not a question of give before you ask. You've seen my brown skin. So I believe in karma and the universe. And I always think that if I can connect you to someone, if I can provide some value, I just do it. It doesn't matter whether you can connect me to someone or not. And the thing about giving is sometimes there's a relationship where you never give, you just get. And sometimes you just give and you never get. It's not the thing. It's just like the checks and balances. I always think you connect people. If I can connect someone to anyone, I always do that. If I can refer some business, I always do that. So you just give and that person may or may not give you at all, but it might be someone else. I just feel like you just have this, and I think that's with business as well. You have this abundance mentality. Like, you know, even, you know, there's no one who's a competitor. There's no one who's a, you know, that you can't give business to. You just create this abundance mentality saying, hey, I'm just going to connect you to as many people as I can. Sometimes you'll do business with these people. Sometimes you may not, because I don't control that. Because even if I connect you to someone, you have to pitch to them. I don't know what your pricing is. I don't know what your product features are. It may or may not be suitable for them. So there's so many elements that go into the mix. But just connecting people is just a good thing. But also what it does is the win-win here is, say I keep connecting people and what it creates is you as a super connector, a central hub.
Yeah.
It not only assists those people, but it creates great credibility for you as well. As a person who connects people, who, you know, who's a problem solver, who, you know, provides connections.
It's brilliant branding, especially with
that's
a business
branding,
like yours.
Yeah.
There's so much in what you've said, and I often say it, have a listen to this podcast again with a pen in hand, because there's a few things. I love your rich model, and I love rich. It's kind of cool. And I love your idea about asking once at the right time in the right way. I think that is game changing for what people could really be thinking about with a network effect rather than just networking.
Yeah.
And I love the business expertise that underlies this very interesting, fun brand. And I love what you bring to it, Raj. You are a force, but so generous and interesting in your approach. I think artful, intentional, with a big dose of karma. Raj, thank you so much for joining us on Tech Live.
Stephanie, thank you so much. You've been too generous with your praise, but it's been fantastic to connect, partner with Tech, work with you, and now be on the podcast. So my absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's Tech Live for today. CEOs are in the business of making decisions, and leadership is the art of execution. I'm Stephanie Christopher, and look forward to talking to you next time.